This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Saram to our listeners. I'm Gulab Pilmoria of Sri Sathasai International Organisation of New Zealand, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the Lord's feet of our beloved Bhagawan, Sri Sathasai Baba. I welcome our listeners to this 1132 Sai news program. This afternoon, we will hear a satsang series hosted by Region 5 Young Youth of USA, where they aim to bring speakers from around the globe to provide their insight on specific themes. On the 22nd of March 2025, Spectacular Insight had a special guest on that day, and she was Suruthi Vijayakumar of New Zealand. She's also the member of International Young Adults Committee, who says some key insights about pushing boundaries. So before we hear this satsang, let's have a Ganesh Bhajan, and here's one for you.
Is perfect. in various capacities in the SSSIO and is currently the Deputy International Young Adults Coordinator and sits on the International Environmental Sustainability Committee. Shruti is passionate about cultivating conscious leaders and fostering dharmic values driven business, particularly drawing from spirituality and indigenous traditions. She works as a coach, educator, and strategist in these areas, advising businesses and coaching leaders and teams. Shruti has completed her MBA at the University of Oxford and also has been recognized as a global shaper by the World Economic Forum for her leadership and contributions to the community. Shruti is also a Harry Potter nut and growing up was at the bookstore on most of the release days and has read each of the books at least 10 times. She has also lived for an extended period of time in all continents except North America and Antarctica, and most recently is living in Argentina. So let's all welcome our dear guest speaker, Shruti. We are going to start off with our main theme question to guide our conversation. And this is, what does pushing boundaries mean to you?
Awesome. Sayam, everyone. Firstly, offering my love and reverence and gratitude to Swami for this beautiful opportunity. Praying, Swami, that you're with us, that we feel your love, your presence, the majesty of your teachings, and connect more deeply to you through this satsang. Please be with us and guide us. And thank you to the team, Brother Rajat, Sister Rashmita, Brother Deepak, others for this beautiful invitation. You know, pushing boundaries it's not an easy topic, and it's really had me reflecting a lot in the last week and learning a lot. So I'm really grateful for the invitation, for the chance to be with you. And I also wanted to say at the outset, I'm here to kind of share a few thoughts and a few experiences, but really looking forward to an interactive discussion, to hearing lots from you both, Rashmita and Deepak, but also all of those who are tuning in. I mean, I know I see a few familiar names, and I know all of you are, have so much rich life experience, regardless of your age or life stage. So really welcome you to join the discussion, share your thoughts in the chat, raise your hand. Our host will find a way to kind of bring you in. We're not too large of a group, so we'd love to kind of include, just the richness of all the experiences of all of you here to make the most of this conversation. So, back to your question, Sister Rashmita, what does pushing boundaries mean to me? I was reflecting on the idea of what is a boundary and, why would we push these, or what's the purpose of pushing them? And I kind of came to boundary is such a broad word, right? Kind of the definition I landed on was, it's some kind of limit or regulation. It might be internal in our mindset. It might be some kind of societal thinking. People dress like this or study these subjects, or the kind of expectations we might feel from our parents, our teachers, our community. There might also be kind of regulations that are placed upon us externally, the rules we follow in the Sai Center or society. And I guess maybe one of the first kind of reflection points was, I think it's really interesting and important that we kind of distinguish which boundaries serve us and which boundaries really limit us in terms of our spiritual growth, which is why we're here, in the Sai Center. And, as you both will know, Swami has spoken at length about the importance of, limits and regulations and, be that, the kind of disciplined lifestyle he kind of encourages us to live, progress on the spiritual path. Even things he gives the example of on the road, if we don't have rules, we can't drive safely, it would be chaos, right? So there are some regulations that are so essential, actually, and if we lose them, we can really suffer. So there's kind of, I guess for me, this first part is kind of telling which are the boundaries that actually I might not like. I might want to enjoy more sweets. I might want to sleep more. But actually, some of these limits actually are really good for me. I might not be able to always follow them, but let me try and follow them because I know they really serve me. And which are the boundaries that are actually constraining me spiritually? Which are the boundaries that maybe are driven out of fear, or we've just done things like this all the time? No one's ever questioned them. And actually, that may be preventing love, unity, keeping me small, constrained in some way. And so I think that's kind of one of the first pieces that is kind of really essential, I think, for us as YAs to discriminate and kind of discern and kind of reflect on, which is where Swami's teachings are so helpful, not because it can be so confusing, to kind of get a sense of where do I push and where do I actually, I don't like this, but it's good for me, let me kind of honor this. So I have some, more thoughts on this, but I'm curious, Rashmita and Deepak, how does that resonate for you, and any kind of, thoughts on that at the outset?
So for me, so currently, I'm working into IT. So every other time, I push myself to learn new things and get over not only related to the work, but I want to learn new things, like push myself to get involved in R&D of new things. So I'm always pushing myself to get over those things. And yeah, still I'm trying to do that. And
Yeah, I also think you brought up a very valid point about the fear that's holding you back. I think we have to try to have self-confidence in ourselves to push ourselves past what we think is capable, because there's like infinite possibilities for the way we can go forward with our lives.
100%. Yeah, beautiful. It's beautiful sharing from you both, Deepak, and I really acknowledge how when we're in our comfort zones, even getting out of our comfort zone can feel quite scary, even for your body, right? Your heart rate starts going up. Maybe you're in a, you want to have a hard conversation or new conversation or speak up, and it's like, even emotionally, it can be quite a hard experience, right? So it really, to touch on your point, Rashmi, that takes a lot of confidence and a lot of courage even, right? To be like, might look like a small thing, but for the body, it can be quite a scary thing actually to, speak up or try something new. Or, I don't know, I remember being at school and like wanting to join the dance group, but I was never a very good dancer. But I wanted to audition, but I was so scared that I'd be judged and people would laugh at me. And what if I don't get in? And it's like, come on, like to even get the courage to try took like a bit of, bit of confidence, let alone some of the bigger things we might be trying in our lives. So really, I think they're great points. Let's maybe go a little bit more deeper into this. And I wanted to share kind of the story. Maybe to start us off around my own work and career. And I think with Swami's grace, it's been a place where he's given a lot of confidence, a lot of grace to kind of just chart a new course. And when we think about work, it's interesting because I think about our parents' generation. And we'll talk more about parents in a moment because I think that's one of the really interesting, points of possibility and opportunity, but also sometimes tension. I think about our parents. My parents grew up in India. They immigrated to Botswana and then to New Zealand. And so for them, a big priority was one, like moving some myself and my sister to get a better life, right? So they were really focused on stability, on security, like financial security, but also it was all in the interest of it was so much sacrifice. It was never about what do I want to do with my career? Like what, it was really about the children, which is, I mean, just I look at that now and I'm like, man, I hope I can have that kind of sacrifice throughout my life. It's really touching. And I know that's the case for many of our parents, right? Particularly immigrant parents. And so it's interesting when I think about then their careers, right? My dad's an accountant. He worked in one company probably for about 20 years or 15 years, and then moved to another accounting company and did the same thing for like another 15 years. It wasn't like Deepak going from this to R&D and trying new things. Like, no, he was like stable and he did a good job and he served well, and that provided stability to the family, and I could get, education, be supported by my family in that. It opened up so many doors, lots of classes I could do outside of school. I mean, many things because of their kind of, sacrifice. And my mother, similar, she made one switch in her career, but she's been in the hospital working in IT for like the last, I think, 15, 20 years, in relatively similar roles. So that's kind of how their career looked for them. And then I come around, like I've had the privilege of growing up in New Zealand, with a lot of opportunity. And I remember coming to like, think about what to study at university. And it was never about what will be stable. I wasn't thinking about future children and their security. Like, what interests me? Like I had the privilege to ask maybe for the first time, and maybe in my whole lineage, I don't think my grandparents, anyone has ever gone, what actually interests me? How do I want to contribute to society through a livelihood? Or, and so it was interesting just to reflect on, wow, because of their sacrifice, I can ask these kinds of questions. And so I ended up studying an arts degree. I think I might have been the only Indian in my class. Most of my peers were in engineering or medicine, but somehow I ended up in this arts degree, and I was interested in economics and political systems and had this kind of social justice. And like many young people, even in the US nowadays, like let's do something about environment and poverty and let's learn about how these systems work. That was really driving me. And somehow after all of this study, I ended up working in a big corporate firm in Australia. I mean, somehow that was the job I got. It was quite strange to my peers because, you know, they were, you know, trying to get jobs in nonprofits and things. But I ended up in this corporate company doing business consulting. And my dad was so proud. He was so happy. He's like, okay, Shruti is like working for this internationally reputable firm. She's doing a good job. Like she's, you know, earning good money. Like it was the sense of like pride, like, man, my sacrifices have been worth it. And I can see her really like just stand on her own two feet. And she's left home and she's like, you know, like really building herself, you know, like this sense of I've done my job. You know, I remember feeling how I was surprised by how proud he was. Both my parents, especially my dad. Fast forward a couple of years, but I really didn't enjoy the work. I really struggled in the work. I was not very good at the work. You know, we were spending 6 months trying to restructure a bank and try and save the company money. And I was not motivated and I was not very good. And ended up, you know, leaving the firm and trying to go, so what do I do, Swami? Like, what's my next step? And I had a lot of conversations, a lot of mind confusion because I was overthinking like anything. But eventually, Swami's grace, a lot of prayer, I had an opportunity to open up in India to go and do education work. And I was really inspired by this like small startup, and this founder had this like big vision of like, you know, transforming education and going to rural schools and values education. And he had been in touch with a few great organizations, had some good partnerships, and he was looking to grow the team. And this opportunity came up to go there. So I remember telling my parents one day, like, I want to go to India and this opportunity looks like it might be working out. And what do you think? And I was like, excited that they'll be like, great, we're so happy for you. And my dad was like, what do you mean you want to go to India? And I was like, yeah, there's like the school education. So, but we worked so hard to bring you to New Zealand. And why do you want to go back to India? Like, it's a really tough place to live. And it's a really, you know, like hard place to work. And this was so valid. You know, I could feel his, you know, like from his experience, it is a tough place. And it's a very different place. And I think he was pointing to my naivety, like, we've been very sheltered in New Zealand. Like, what do you mean you want to go back? And I was like, yeah, but I mean, recognizing to some degree my naivety, probably not entirely, you know, I think as young people sometimes we don't, but also going, but I really feel like inspired and drawn to this work. And it really feels like a good next step. And he was really not so sure. And then he asked, how much will they pay you? And I told them the amount. And basically what I would earn in 1 month in Australia, I would earn in 1 year in India. So it was this huge cut. And I mean, how many months I'd have to work to save enough money to travel back to New Zealand, I don't know. It was standard for India rates, but it wasn't what I would be earning in New Zealand or Australia. So he was like, you know, what do you mean? Like, you'll be earning this. Like, you've got a degree. Like, he just couldn't comprehend, like, why would someone do this? It didn't make any sense. And so I was like,
stick up for me. I don't need.
You know, the money's not important. Like, it's enough. I can sustain myself. Like, I don't need, you know, like fancy things. Like, it's the work that's really motivating me. And he just didn't get it, you know. And so we started these conversations for a while. And in the end, I ended up going to India and he supported, but he was still a bit confused. And I think he still kind of wished I didn't do it. But anyway, I think what maybe a couple of things I wanted to touch on was, one, I think what really helped us both in the situation, not be in a state of conflict or frustration with each other. We had very different views. It was a lot of understanding, you know, and it was a lot of patience, I think, especially from them, but also from me to really sit and spend. My dad and I used to have lunch once a week. We thought, let's just go away outside the house and we'd meet and we'd just share our hearts. And he would tell me more about what was important to him and why. And with time, I began to appreciate, you know, stability and security were the values driving him. And with time, he began to appreciate, okay, learning and contribution were these values driving me. One was not better than the other. It was not like I was better. But actually, they were just different and different contexts and different times. And I think through conversations, we really understood and respected each other's positions. It didn't mean I was going to do what he wanted, but I really could appreciate what he was saying and why. And I think from that place, there was never a feeling of my dad doesn't understand me. It took time, took patience to build that understanding. But I really felt, okay, we are just different. But there was a lot of love, which made it a lot easier. You know, there are some situations with my parents where it hasn't come so easily, where I'm like, man, Amapa, you don't get it. Like, it's not always, you know, and it takes time. So I really kind of acknowledge them. Like, they've been so understanding. But that really helped the situation. And I think what helped for me was there was so much clarity inside. Like, this isn't a decision from fear. This isn't a decision about doing something for the sake of my parents. Like, actually, I could hear them, but the clarity inside was so clear. I mean, there was such a sense of confidence that this is the path, and what's the worst thing that happens? Okay, it doesn't work out. I come home, I get a new job. Like, I'm already in the wealthiest 1% by living in New Zealand. Like, there was nothing. Oh, sorry, team, network issue, but we're back.
So
yeah, I was just going to say, you know, like in our culture, I mean, there's been so much importance given to respecting our parents. And it's so important. No, I think it's such a beautiful value that maybe not as prominent in the West. But sometimes it gets tricky when our inner guidance might be in the direction to what they want us to do. And they're coming from love, you know, most of the time, nearly all the time, we're very blessed, you know, that they want, you know, typically what's best for us. And yet our inner guidance might be saying something else. So in these situations, how do we have the confidence to follow our truth, to listen to them, to be understanding, but ultimately to not, I think if we do something for the sake of doing what our parents want, it's not really respecting them. There's going to be some resentfulness. I'm doing this because you want me to. It's not pure. You can feel inside like there's some resistance, which is not loving. So that's where that either I understand why you're saying why you're doing it. I really, from my heart, do it out of my love for you. Or I, you know, we sit and understand each other, but I have to follow my heart. I can't go against myself. But that's going to create more problems in our relationship in the long term and in whatever I do. So I think that's a really tough place to be. And it requires a lot of trusting ourselves, you know, like really listening, praying to Swami, Swami, am I just doing this out of ego because I don't want to do what I'm told to do? You know, I don't like being told what to do and I'm just simply resisting. Or am I really like praying to you? And so I think, you know, praying, really having the confidence to trust ourselves and take responsibility for our decisions. Like at this age, we are adults. We are not like teenagers. We have to take responsibility. And ultimately, if we make a mistake, you know, learn from it, embrace it. But listen, you know, listen, respect, but take responsibility for our own choices. And sometimes I've noticed like their disapproval or disappointment can be so hard to bear. Like there've been times where I've wanted to do something and my mom doesn't like it. And it's like so hard to bear. Like I come home and I can feel, she's like, why are you going and hanging out with this person? And I'm like, no, mom, like, I know you don't like it, but really I from my heart, I feel it's like, you know, their own prejudices might be in the way. Or maybe my own prejudices. I don't know. We have to be humble also. We'll make mistakes, 100%. But sometimes the disapproval can be so hard to bear when we make our own choices. So having the strength, I guess, to bear that. And what gives that is that conviction inside. So if that clarity is there, they'll feel it also. And when you speak, they'll feel the truth and they'll get some confidence. And I found with my work over time, you know, I came back, you know, from this job in India. And from there, I've continued to just sort of pursue my own path and learn and train and take more entrepreneurial routes, you know, creating my own work. With Swami's grace, it's been possible. And it took them many years, but with time, they began to really appreciate, okay, this is her path in this life. And they began to feel really proud and very supportive. But it took years to get to that point. You know, for many years, they were just concerned and fearful that, have we been good parents? Is she going to be okay? And to have the strength and the understanding to bear that was quite a, you know, it was quite a testing time for both of us. And I mean, I thank them. They've been amazing. You know, I feel very grateful, you know, and at the same time, it's been a beautiful learning opportunity to grow my own confidence and to not need their validation. It's nice when it comes, but not to rely on their validation, but really to rely on the self inside instead. So yeah, I'm curious, Rashmika and Deepak, I know parents is a conversation that came up in your insight, you know, in your study circle last week, and you know how that's been for you both. If you can resonate, you know, what's your experience been like, kind of, you know, following the self? Sometimes struggling too. I've definitely been there. Mm-hmm. Parent strong, but also sometimes, you know, finding the courage to do so. And yeah, curious, any reflections you might have?
Yeah. So I was just thinking, like, based on what you said, I had 2 points. So you brought up, if you're like following your path, then you're egoistic in a manner. How are you going to balance the way that you think about that? Like, am I making the right decision? Versus when you follow what your parents say, you might blame yourself for like, blame them for the path that they're telling you to go to. So how do you balance which path you go in? Like either following their decision or following your decision?
I mean, my take on this, Rashmita, and it might sound a little bit like controversial, is ultimately, we have to follow the conscience.
Mm.
We have, like, that's the one we are accountable to. Like, for me, respecting my parents truly is respecting my conscience. The conscience, when we follow the conscience, we're acting out of love and not fear. That's a good sign. So maybe the question for me is, how do I know what my conscience is saying? Is this my ego? Just being like Shruti, like following my likes, my dislikes? You know, like once I had a, this is an interesting one. I was in a work and I had a contract with the government and I was really struggling in it and didn't like it. And I wanted to cut the contract short and leave. And I remember talking to my parents about it. And they were like, no, Shruti, you should stay and finish it. It's just a couple more months. We know you don't like it, but it's a good thing to stay. And I went inside and I asked, okay, I want to leave. My parents think I should stay. What's going on? And when I looked, okay, what's my, where's the urge for me to leave coming from? It's coming from me running from this because I don't like it. It's coming from kind of my likes, my dislikes, running from a hard situation, not wanting to face it. And my parents are saying, actually, face it and learn from it. Actually, I think that's right. That's right. You know, it's my own. So it's quite hard to discern sometimes because it can be so muddy, right? Is this really my ego? Or actually, is there something deeper? You know, and so in that case, it really made sense to stay. And I needed that. Their input is really helpful because it opens me up. So I think getting our parents' guidance is amazing and really essential and really important. You know, but at the same time, I've got to come back. And if I come back to my heart and feel, actually, I'm not running from this situation, I really feel, you know, I've done my best and actually it's the right time to move on and I can move on well and I can hand off my work to someone. Maybe in that situation I could have left. But in this situation, when I really went inside it, no, I'm running. There's a contraction. You can even see, and this will actually be the next part of the satsang, Rashmi, that's a beautiful question to go into. Like, how do I know what's happening inside? And actually, one of the things is when there's a contraction in the body or some fear or some, often it means I'm running. I'm not following the conscience. I'm following the ego or the emotions. But when there's a sense of, like, you know, clarity or calmness or peace, there might be some sadness, but there's a kind of openness. I'm not running. Actually, I understand this is, you know, like you can feel it inside you. And we'll practice this together, actually, in the next part. So, does that help, Rashmita? I'm curious.
Yeah, it does. It does clarify the concept.
Yeah. How about you, Deepak? Any thoughts or reflections?
Yeah. Whatever you have said till now, like it truly reflects in my life too. Like it's a similar things which happened in my life too. Like kind of starting from the job, everything. At every point of time, we will have a conflict of this. We have a decision and we want to push ourselves, but parents will be there to stop us. Hey, you shouldn't go. Like, for example, like I wanted to come to US and it took me like a year or 2 years to get approval from them and to convince them. So, yeah. So, it truly resonates like whatever you have said. Yeah.
Okay, Sairam listeners. So we will continue this satsang next week. Sairam to you all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.